T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson. You there, my friend?
Yeah, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you now. Preseason game ones are behind us, which we are immersed in it. We got a draft tonight.
Are we?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You better be ready.
Preseason is, you know, whatever. I haven't really digested much of it. I'm going to go through some film on Monday. I know we didn't have any really serious injuries.
Yeah, nothing.
That's good.
Nothing,
some minor stuff.
Yeah, some minor stuff. And, Marquise Lee's got a knee. He's a long shot for week
right.
one.
And that's not really an injury. That's a lack of rehab completion.
Yeah. And
like he's going to get some of that platelet stuff. And it sounds like Jerick McKinnon's doing a similar thing.
Yeah, he's got a repaired knee, surgically repaired knee, and he got the platelet injection, I think, on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
But that's kind of he's in San Francisco, and that's kind of a messy backfield, as it were, anyway, you know, with
a little cleaner, I guess.
A little cleaner now.
It's not how we want it to be clean.
Right.
But, the platelet thing, that's probably neither good nor bad news. It means that it's not a structural thing that they're dealing with. It's just... And you know about this, Jim. Like, coming back from a rehab ACL
takes a while.
It's not a straight curve. You know, it's a zigzag kind of process. One day you're feeling better, the next day you're not. So I wouldn't say like McKinnon's done or anything like that, but definitely for redraft, not a guy I'm looking at.
Yeah, well, it puts him behind what was already a crowded, you know, backfield with Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida and, you know, guys we like. You know, I know Matt Breida's a guy that
I just drafted him. Literally,
is that right?
Before we went on the air.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I don't want to say he's impervious to injury, but I mean, he bounces off the ground. He gets hit a lot. He hits the ground a lot, and he keeps getting back up. So he's an interesting player.
A lot of people talking about, oh, Breida gets banged up. It's like, well, Breida played hurt last year because they were out of running backs.
Right.
So I don't know if it's fair to say that he gets hurt when he's the one guy who sucked it up, played all year.
Right.
You know. So sometimes we talk about injured performance, and we forget it's an injured performance. Marcus Mariota, same kind of thing. Plenty of reasons to knock Mariota, don't get me wrong. But last year's performance with the elbow, when he should not have been on the field, that's not a time to get down on the player.
He's actually an interesting guy to watch this year because, you know, because I think, look at the Titans have a lot there. So if he can get his stuff together, they could be not a deep contender, but a contender. A lot of weapons there. And they also brought some competition in for him with Tannehill. So maybe you get a little bit more out of him.
I don't know if that's competition or if it's, you know, sort of like, hey, look, we have someone who can play now. But I think it's more for injury protection.
Mm.
But you know what? That's a compelling team. Not really for fantasy. For fantasy, it's one of those, you know, remember who the coaches are kind of teams. Like, you know, before you go jumping in all excited about anybody who plays for Tennessee, Vrabel is coaching that team. And I know our audience is like, oh, what's wrong with Vrabel? But, you know, if you're looking for offensive production, Vrabel is not the guy.
They're pretty conservative. It's also his first year.
Yeah,
you know,
they do everything to take the air out of the game down there.
Yep.
And I can't blame them for doing it. But, for example, if you're thinking, hey, Adam Humphries last year, he was really good. Yeah, he's going from a team who's throwing it like 50 times a game to a team that's going to throw it 50 times in September. So, you know, be careful with guys like that. And, the rookie as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. There's a guy there I know you like a lot. I like him too, Corey Davis. And you wish that they would get the ball to him because he's a guy who can make plays.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of Corey Davis as a guy to draft. My problem is just be careful what you think you're getting. You know, I think he's definitely the number one receiver there. I think he's a legit NFL wide receiver one. But if you're looking for like volume that gets him up into that high end second receiver for fantasy level, it's nothing against him. I just don't think he can get the targets to get there.
Yeah, no, I think that's important when you're talking fantasy football. Right. You need to get the volume, or you need to be explosive enough to make do with the plays that you have, like Deshaun Jackson type. You know,
and
I mean?
I'm letting myself off easy there, Jim, because listen, this Corey Davis being drafted right now in like the ninth round, eighth round.
Yeah.
So I think he's actually a bargain. So I'm just, you know, before saying that, I'm saying, hey, the upside is limited because, you know, he could be Randy Moss, they only throw so much.
Right.
So, you know, understand that that limitation is there. But I think he's a buy right now because right now he's going at wide receiver three prices, late wide receiver three.
Yeah, his ADP is like around 100.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
he's a value.
Yep. So we should talk about some values like that. We're going to get into tight ends too because there's a lot of value there.
Yeah.
It's
an interesting position. I think it's one we want to sort of look at correctly before we start drafting. So it's a good one to go through today.
Yeah, I'll tell you, just to kind of tease that a little bit, like when we were in the Scott Fish Bowl back in July, in early July, so you really have to just, you know, it's a feel thing when you're drafting that early. But when I was, my first look at the tight ends, Pete, one of the things that struck me is the veterans. Like, I'm not afraid of the veterans on the board. You know, the guys who've been there a long time. Are you?
Yeah, I definitely. Well, who are we talking? Which veteran are we talking about?
Well, it depends. I mean,
case
like,
by case.
Okay, like Delanie Walker, for instance.
Not afraid.
Yeah, nor am I. Vance McDonald.
I don't really consider him a veteran at this point, since he's never really had a fantasy-worthy season.
Okay, but he's been around a long time.
Yeah, he's been around. I feel like he's a little bit of a pothole, like a little bit of a trap. Just because he's never put together a full season of statistics.
Mm.
So if you're drafting him as like, yeah, this guy's going to bust out. He's going to be a stealer. We've seen what the extra receiver can do there. I'm with all of that. But be prepared. Like, have a plan B because this guy's gotten hurt before and he's never been a primary option before. So just I would approach him with caution. Like, I like the idea of taking him as an upside starter.
Yeah.
But get like – like, I could see taking him and then in, like, the 12th round, grab Hockenson or something like that. Like, come up with a plan B to him, in my opinion.
Well, in Fishbowl, similarly, like, I took Kyle Rudolph late, and then I took Irv Smith. So,
a little
bit of a hook there.
Sorry, I went long-winded there. Who's your next veteran?
Well, there's a, you know, the big one for me is a guy that, personally, and you've known me a long time, I'm scared to death of, but, you know, why am I not afraid of Jordan Reed all of a sudden?
You shouldn't be afraid of Jordan Reed. Same kind of thing, though. Like, much worse. You have to plan B Jordan Reed. Like, I might even take plan B before I took Reed.
You know
what I'm saying?
But you can play Reed the first 3-4 weeks of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, Reed is a top 6 or 7 tight end if he's playing, if he's healthy and starting. Heck, you could make an argument he's higher than that.
Yeah.
But we don't know who the quarterback is yet. If you watched those games last year, seriously, Alex Smith, and I'm, you know, I feel bad because something awful happened to him, but look.
That was a brutal
injury.
Truth
is the truth. Alex Smith was killing him last year.
Yeah.
I mean, just killing him.
Before he got hurt.
Couldn't throw into the windows. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. He never has been able to.
No. You know me and Alex Smith. Yeah. He's always been hugely overrated.
Squirt gun arm with good like quarterback rating. He's the exact
underrated feat.
But he's the exact example of why QB rating is kind of a bust. Like, you can't trust it because he's a guy who will always have a great rating.
I'm down with that. Playing for Andy Reid doesn't hurt either.
True.
Yeah.
True, with all the weaponry there.
Yeah, he's sort of like Steve Spurrier playing in the modern NFL. Like, you want to root for it, but you don't really want to watch it.
Yeah, he was a bust.
And you certainly don't want to be the guy running routes for it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, a couple more of the veteran tight ends.
But seriously, good call on Reed.
Yeah.
Very much with that call. I think some people are talking about him now, like, wow, the ADP on him is sick. Just, again, horses for courses, know what you're doing. If you go after Jordan Reed, you have to have some type of plan B.
Yeah, I wouldn't like go after him, but if he was there, late. Like,
I'm not even opposed to going after him. But it happens fast with Jordan Reed, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're partying after the first quarter and you're making new plans by the end of the third quarter.
It's very,
you know,
true. So right now he's being drafted the average draft position of 151. About 150.
Yeah, that's free money for as long as it lasts.
Right.
Yeah, and if if you're in a tiny league, I say plan B, plan B. Plan B might just be like be emotionally ready to go to the waiver wire, you know?
Yeah.
In some leagues, you can't afford to roster a backup if you only roster like 15 players or something.
Well, it's a good example. So we play in a dynasty league together, and I've got Reed on my roster and often can't use him. Now I have him on my roster, drafted Hockenson, so I've got a little bit of an opportunity there.
Yeah. I mean, look, and then like you have baby Jordan Reed, right? Tyler Eifert, who is getting tons of buzz.
I'm scared
right
of him.
Now. A lot of people talking about Tyler Eifert. Evan Silva's pushing him, and you know I love Evan, but yeah, I'm not with him on this at all.
Yeah, I mean Eifert, he's just.
I mean, look,
he's got too
last
many
pick in my draft,
dude.
And I don't have a tight end, and I know he's starting week one. Yeah, okay, maybe. But the thing about Tyler Eifert is, he's like. He's like a story, a legend. You know what I mean? The value of Tyler Eifert has been passed down from fantasy player to fantasy player over the last 5 years.
It's like Dan Pastorini or Vince Ferragamo. Like their aura is bigger than what they actually did on the field.
He only did it once, one time.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking at his stats right now because I don't spend time looking at his stats because he's not somebody who's in my radar at all. But I think how many touchdowns did he score? 13.
He had one big year, but we're talking like 4 years ago now.
He had one big year. I believe it was 2015. And it was big. I mean, it was like 13 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. But here's the thing. Even with the 13 touchdowns, I'm looking this up as we talk now, by the way, because I need to know.
Sure.
But he only caught like 50 balls.
Mm.
2015, 13 touchdowns. Only 615 yards and 52 catches. So this guy who everybody's like, oh, well, if Eifert's there, he could be amazing for you. Yeah, career high 52 catches. Career high 615 yards. Now, go away from the career high. Then you're going down to his second best year is 445, and that was in 2013.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, I get the Eifert thing, but to me, at this point, he's a tease. I'm not buying on him.
And my rationale
would have to be really situational.
Yeah, exactly. I think people are overreacting to the fact that AJ Green is out and he's going to be out for the first.
I don't think
few
that's
games.
It.
You don't think that's it?
I think there is catnip with this player. I think we have it with certain. Josh Gordon is the same kind of thing. The difference is he's younger. It's not an injury thing, and the good year was actually a great year.
And he's done more. He was a 2,000-yard plus
guy. Josh
Gordon
put up an epic, like all-time kind of year.
Yeah.
And he did it in like a shortened kind of season. So, you know, I get Tyler Eifert's a talented player, but at some point you have to say, wait a minute.
Well,
2016, 29 receptions. Yeah. 2017, 4 receptions. 2018, 15 receptions. This guy's got 19 receptions over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm cutting bait.
I agree. I there's three issues for me. The other two, I said, like, you know, I think people are over. I think you're right. It's catnip, but I also think they are like, ooh, with AJ Green down, someone's going to get the ball.
No, it's not, Jim, because they were because before Green got hurt, this was going on.
That's true too. You don't think it's amplified though, because he was dead. Sure, he was dead to
yes,
me.
Yes, yes, yes. 5% more now. Fine, but I'm just saying. Believe me, with my nose is in this 24/7. There were people talking about Eifert 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
he's practicing. He's healthy. If he makes it through August, blah 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 blah.
The other thing I was going to say too, Pete, is I'm not down with the Bengals offense. Like a lot of people are kind of pumping them.
I'm down with it.
They're still Andy Dalton led. I mean, I like Mixon.
Well, yeah, sure, but
I like
now
Boyd.
But wait a minute though, they're Andy Dalton led in a new scheme. This is a better scheme for Dalton. And you know how much I don't like Andy Dalton, but this is a much better scheme for him. They're going to be running the kind of pass patterns they ran in. I want to say St. Louis, but in L.A.
at the Rams.
Yep. I do think that's going to make more defined reads for Dalton. The problem, in my opinion, is the schedule. The schedule is tough. So, like my thing with the Bengals is. How do I want to get in on it? Like, and where do I want to get in on it? You know, like, I mean, Mixon is a guy I really want to get involved with this year just because of the talent.
Mm.
But, you know, I look at the schedule and I'm like, and like you said, it is, I mean, I like the fact that they're going to a scheme that should be like the Rams. Like, how can you not like that when you're coming off of like a decade plus of Marvin Lewis?
Exactly. Well, that's a good point. I still get leery of that team. It's just something they need to show me a little something before I dive in. But Boyd's
well,
a guy I like.
We don't have that option in drafts. But yeah. Look, here's the thing: they start with Seattle at Seattle.
Tough one.
That's tough to run. Then you're Frisco, mediocre. You can run a little on them. But then at Buffalo, not a great team, but a tough defense.
Yep.
At Pittsburgh, then a break with Arizona, but then Baltimore, very tough. Jacksonville, very tough. The Rams, very tough. Baltimore again.
Yep.
So
and they'll have Pittsburgh again down the line too.
Yeah. Yep. So my thing on Cincinnati is I like them more than you, and I get what you're saying. I sort of feel like they're going to get crushed up until week 10 at Baltimore. I'm sort of thinking I might want to trade for them during their bye or something. Take the Baltimore hit and then enjoy the Raiders, the Jets, and Miami week 16.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of frustrated Mixon owners out there that you can maybe get him, you know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think the idea is maybe don't be one of them.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a bad pick, maybe let somebody else take the pain you just alluded to.
That's kind of what I'm saying. You know, like I'm not jumping in on the Bengals right now, but, you know.
Right. And don't get me wrong. If you take Mixon at 13, 14, 15 overall, there's no way to knock that pick.
Yeah,
that's
it's a great
solid
pick.
Sure. But, you know, maybe going with a different running back there and then trying to sneak back in for a Tyler Boyd, Mixon, A.J. Green as he's finally getting healthy kind of thing.
Mm.
That could be a play. Because apart from San Francisco, Arizona, there's really not much in their first half schedule that I want to be involved in.
Okay. Back to some veteran tight ends that kind of caught my eye. Just to kind of have the conversation. So Kyle Rudolph, you'd be mediocre on. I kind of am too. I got him real late.
I think early on he's viable.
Yeah.
The question is, like you said, how does that offense evolve? Smith could become a part of it by them playing two tight ends, because they've played two tight ends quite a bit and they're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
So that might, you know, that wouldn't necessarily negatively affect Rudolph. The thing we need to remember about Rudolph is he's a phenomenal blocker and he's a pass protector too.
Yeah, he'll stay on the field.
Yeah, I don't see him coming off the field. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't know where he should be taken. I think he's sort of a mid-range tight end too, but I'm not afraid of him. Certainly not early on.
Yeah, that's why. Like, it went just back to the fishbowl thing. I think I got him.
I'm with you on
like in the 16th or 17th round. Then I got Smith the next
time. In that scoring system, that's money.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's money.
And so, okay, so just in moving kind of like on to some other guys, someone I know who historically
we're talking
veterans
now.
Yeah, these are just the veteran tight ends. I kind of kicked off the conversation just saying that at the tight end position, which is stacked and deep, I'm actually not afraid of the veterans, and we kind of got into it if you're just joining us, which is like, oh, who are you talking about? Because some guys I like and some guys I don't, kind of back and forth. One of the guys I know historically you don't like, but I like the setting, and I think you probably know where I'm going to go here, is Jared Cook, who ended up on the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, okay.
What is it with you and him? Do you have a fight over a girlfriend or something?
He's just a guy whose talent exceeds his production, and it always has. You know, I mean, last year they basically didn't have any offense, so they basically gummed it up. Not gummed it up, but they sort of jerry-rigged it.
They had to get it to Cook going. Yeah.
And it worked. There's two things with Cook. First of all, everything looks really good. He's pretty high on my board. I'll take him if I need to. Probably I'll find a way around it.
Yeah.
But I'm not telling people not to take Cook. Rationally, it's a pretty good pick. Here's the thing that sticks in my head, and maybe you can predict this before I say it, but
I think I suffered through what you're about to talk about, but go ahead.
Yeah, you probably did. But here's the thing I keep coming back to. Kobe Fleener.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I waited for him for a whole year to turn into something on the Saints. It never happened.
Here's the problem. The problem is the Saints signed Kobe Fleener, and I'm like, wait a minute. Kobe Fleener stinks. And then people start going, well, you're smarter than Sean Payton, Pete? And I'm like, well, no. No, definitely not. Like, well, maybe they know something you don't know. And then I sat there and went, yeah, Breeze and Peyton. They would know a lot of things I don't know, right? I mean, I should trust Breeze and Peyton. If they're signing Fleener to be the starter and they gave him all this money, it has to work. They're smart. Breeze going to the Hall of Fame. Peyton's a Super Bowl coach. So, you know, you and I think both bought all of Fleener.
Yeah.
And hey, guess what? Stinks.
He never did anything.
Right. I mean, he was worse. He went... Here's the funny thing about Fleener. He stayed healthy and went below the floor I estimated for him.
Right.
He was worse than my floor numbers without getting hurt.
He didn't even give you a tease. Like there were because the Saints are on are televised a lot, and like you'd watch and like you'd just wait for like one pass like underneath on like a slant route or a go route that he could take. Like you saw when he was on the Colts, it never happened.
I have nothing against Kobe Fleener personally. In fact, he was really cool online that time. We were making fun of him with the swing line stapler and saying we were going to move his desk to the back end of the basement.
That's right. I remember
we were
that.
Doing the whole office space thing on him. And he was retweeting it. He thought it was really funny. So he's a good dude. But, yeah, I that's my problem here is I feel Fleener redux. But it's not fair because Cook is, on his face, talented.
Yeah.
So assuming Cook shows up, plays at 100%, that it works in their system, not only could he make me look stupid, he could make me look really stupid.
Well, here's the thing. So your fear, you're thinking about what the Saints weren't able to do with Kobe Fleener, or rather what he was incapable of doing when he was there.
You just took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm kind of thinking of it a different way, which is I'm looking at what they were able to accomplish with Ben Watson And maybe, maybe you get a little bit of...
The difference is...
That with Cook.
They signed Ben Watson. I'm like, hey, Ben Watson can play football. You know, like
he's a football player first.
Right.
And he found it kind of late.
I'm just... This is just one of those... Like, really? Did it have to be Cook and the Saints? Like, if Cook had gone to the Patriots, I'd have been like, oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. If Belichick says he can play football, I guess I'm wrong. But the Fleener thing is there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's you and I both said it. Like, oh, he's terrible. And, you know. So look, Cook is a guy who's let me down a ton of times. He's a guy who doesn't play as well as he should most of the time. And let's look at the way the Saints work. The targets are going to go to Thomas. Then they're going to go to Kamara.
Yep.
And then they're going to be sort of divided between the 2 and 3 receiver and the tight end. Will Cook become like the dedicated third option? He's number 3. He's getting like a steady 7 to 8 a week. Well, then he's going to be pretty good, even if he doesn't play well.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We kind of got on this path because, you know, it's such a deep position, tight end. And so,
depending who you talk to, some people say, oh, tight end's horrible. It's a minefield.
Well, I like it.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with the tight ends this year. I feel like it's one of the better years we've seen.
Well, kind of the reason I wanted to go with the veterans first is just to underscore a point that I actually didn't make at the top, which I'll make now, which is if you miss out on one of the really top guys, and we're going to get into them later.
Most of us will.
Yeah. Yes. You know, like a Kelce or someone like that.
Yeah.
I think
25% of us get one of them.
Yeah, I think you can stack up like on receiver and running back and still get a really productive tight end or two that you can kind of bounce around later. You know?
Do that. 100%. Here's where tight end for me is sort of like when quarterback was 13, 14 deep. There would be some stress when you started to wait.
Yeah.
So
that's where my hatred for Andy Dalton comes from, because I would wait so long. I'm like, please don't just get someone before Dalton.
Oh, no, I waited too long. Yeah. I'm a Dalton. Yeah. But for me, there's like 6 tight ends that I'm very much like, if I get one of these guys, I know I'm happy.
Yeah.
So Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, those are the easy ones. But then O.J. Howard, Ingram, Hunter Henry, the first two for me really have as much upside as the first 3.
Yep.
It's just that they haven't actually done it yet. Sort of full scale. That's the only reason they're not up there. And then Ingram's got some quarterback concerns. And then Hunter Henry.
It's great to see his name back in action.
Nice that he's healthy. Now, obviously, he had 2 injuries that sort of hurt part of his early career. There's probably some trepidation with him. I have him a little bit behind Ingram and Howard because of that, but I have him at 50 overall. So I'm pretty well leaned in on those top 6 tight ends.
Well, despite what Stephen A. Smith said last year, how much he liked Hunter Henry on the field, he actually didn't play last year.
That's right.
But he is back now.
Who is it? Was it the defensive coordinator of the Steelers? He was talking about some player who was already out for the year. Eifert. He was talking about Eifert.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to deal with Eifert. It's like, yeah, he's on IR, dude. You're a professional coach.
Let's see, like Craig calling you or something? What do you have to deal with? He's not on the field.
The jerky boys.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how much time we got to the break here?
Yeah, we got a few minutes. We'll get into it. I'll get the...
Because we'll walk through...
Jolt and Joe will give us the sign when it's time.
Okay. Tight ends, I think it's a fun drafting position this year.
Yeah.
Dallas Goedert actually dinged up his calf. Mm. It looks like 2 days ago. So he's a guy now to be a little bit cautious with.
Well, he was a fun one to think about late because you've got Ertz there, right? So you're kind of like, I was interested in kind of, seeing where he fell late and grabbing him because I think there's a lot of upside there. But that kind of stymies that a little bit.
Well, if he's back in 10 days, like they say, it won't be a big deal. And the good thing for Goddard with that type of injury, I actually have had that injury several times, like legit had it, walking boot had it. If you don't have to like play every down, that's going to help a lot. Like if you're a player coming back from that and you have to play the full game, that's one thing. If you only have to play half, that helps quite a bit.
Well, that's him. I mean, Ertz is the guy who's going to be on the field all the time.
So my point is Goddard can be that 30, 40% snap guy early on, and then once he's fully healthy, he can go maybe up to 50.
Yep.
They play a lot of 2 tight end in Philadelphia. In fact,
remember when they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, they had Ertz and Trey Burton on the field a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, that we all know the play.
Yep.
When you look at Goddard, I was talking on Twitter the other day. We were comparing Goddard to Mark Andrews, two obviously really good, young, talented tight ends, both of the catch-first variety. And I said, to people like, I put up a poll, who played more snaps last year? Everybody said Andrews. Mm-hmm.
They were wrong.
It's Goddard by quite a bit, by well over 100 snaps. It underscores how these players are being used. Goddard was, and this is what's interesting, Goddard was coming onto the field more as a receiver than anything else. Mm. So that shows you the fact that Andrews actually outproduced with yardage and, you know, fantasy stats. He actually outproduced Goddard, and he did it in significantly less playing time. So just think about how often Mark Andrews is being targeted when he's on the field.
Oh, you just stole my thunder. I was going to say, I think the reason people probably answered Andrews on that was you always remember the last thing you saw, the last impression, yeah. And his last impression towards the end of the year was really good.
Yeah,
really
well, good. And that's when people saw it, but that was happening most of the year. I mean, after the catch, that dude is a handful. You know, the problem is he doesn't really do much that's value-added apart from being a receiver.
Mm.
So, like, when you look at his snap rates, like, I went through the whole season the other day. I mean, it's almost sort of shocking because this guy put up numbers all year, right?
Yeah.
But it's like 28, 34, 32, 26. You know, I think his best week all year was 44.
Yeah.
That's the highest percentage of offensive snaps he played all year.
Mm. Probably changes a little bit coming into this season. We'll see, though.
Well, that's the interesting question with him. But even with all of those problems, 34 catches, 552 yards. 552 yards. That's insane.
That's efficient. That's pretty good. All right, we're going to get back to more tight ends, more fantasy football draft prep. We have a draft tonight. Maybe you do, too. We're going to get you ready. Sports Radio, WEEI.
You just letting it play, Hack?
I was going to let it roll. I was waiting for the big ba-bam.
You are a child. We're on the air. Come on.
All right, we'll get going. You can pot it down. I'll listen to it on my drive home. They come into Fenway, I think, in September, too, by the way. Yeah.
I sold my Rolling Stones tickets the other day. I was sort of bummed.
Where were they playing?
Down here in New York. I bought them to go with my son for his graduation present.
Cool.
And the show got canceled because of Mick's heart.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then my son, Satch, was out of town. My wife was going to go with me, but I said, you know what, I'll just put them up for like some ungodly amount. You know, maybe they'll sell. And
they
sold.
Yeah, good. Good for you. Yeah, I want to.
I'm sort of regretting it. I've seen them before.
So. I have too. I saw they were. So Keith was 70 when I saw him a few years ago. So I feel like I caught them at the tail end. But I want to squeeze one more out of them.
That's good.
Yeah. It's gonna be the first guy to live to 200.
How long ago was that?
4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, for me it was longer ago than that. Let's get off the Stones, but they were great. Back to tight ends, man.
Yeah, I want to get to tight ends too, but I want to when we get to the close, I've got another topic we'll surface about camp competitions. There's two
that
are interesting.
Let's do that right now. Go.
You want to hit it?
Yeah, real
quick.
All right,
so there's a couple that are interesting to me. One is the ever confusing Andre Reed is talking about a running back by committee situation in Kansas City. You got any thoughts there? Because they got four good backs. They obviously have a lead back.
Reed talking about a committee. When did that happen?
He popped that out on Friday.
Yeah. Nah, I'm not real worried.
You're not worried that Damian Williams is going to tell them
I'm worried about Damian Williams being 100% healthy. That's the thing to look at. He popped back at practice, I think, 3 days ago.
Yeah, he was doing individual drills on Friday, I think.
Carlos Hyde doesn't fit that system very well, and he looked washed last year. I'm not too worried about Hyde. I wouldn't discount him, but I'm not worried. Darrell Williams, the guy from LSU, I like quite a bit.
Yeah.
From what I hear, he's in the four hole right now. So he, I don't think, is a huge threat to Damian Williams.
And the rookie looked pretty good last night, but it was also preseason game one. So
yeah, the rookie Darwin Thompson is the guy I would be most concerned about, but he's a rookie, so you know we'll see. Thompson will have to show up and really outperform Williams. The thing about Damian Williams is people, I don't know why people have such a problem with Damian Williams. This is a 220 plus pound running back who is a really good receiver, and you know. Who runs sub 4.5. Like, this is not just some guy.
And he played a big program at Oklahoma. I mean, also,
and he was a problem at Oklahoma. He had off the field stuff. You know, there were always maturity questions about Damian Williams. And he went to Miami. And it's sort of a weird career, right? You have maturity problems and you get sent to live with, you know, Incognito and all these whack jobs down there under the Philbin administration.
Right.
You know, there's a good place to clean up your off field issues.
He's a substitute teacher. Like, he literally ran it like a high school classroom with a substitute teacher. I mean, honestly.
So, my take on that is that, well, you know what? Damian Williams went down there and dealt with all of that.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't fall apart. He didn't succumb. And he stayed professional and cleaned his act up. Then he did the right thing and got the heck out of Miami. And hey, who signs him? A guy who knows a little something about running backs.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to sit there and believe in Damian Williams, but I'm encouraging people. Have an open mind. Seriously. This guy's got some juice.
I think I think people can't get over their own personal dead horse Rolodex when it comes to him, because he was a depth guy in Miami and then initially a depth guy last year until he blossomed at the end due to injury. And people get that in their head. Well, why was he depth why couldn't he make it up to the top of the depth chart earlier? I think that's what it is.
Well, the reason is because they did have decent backs in Miami too. Right. And Kenyon Drake was the same kind of guy.
Yeah.
A guy who had all this ability as a receiver, but he couldn't quite get through the early down thing and become a volume runner early down. We still don't know if he can. That's not a bad way to look at Damian Williams, who is not good at creating yards after contact. That's not his strength. Running inside and getting tough yardage, that's not his strength. But that's okay, because guess what? In Kansas City's scheme, they are not looking to grind it out.
Yeah,
they're looking to spread it.
They're explosive.
They're going to get this guy into space, and his speed is going to eat things up. You know, it may not be some otherworldly performance, but the idea that this guy is going to stay healthy and disappoint in that offense, to me, is
kind of silly.
Curse word, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if they might even try to move Hyde, because, as you said, he just doesn't fit.
I don't think they'll move him. I think they'll use him for what they got him for. You know, some early down pounding.
Some goal line, maybe.
You know, the rookie should be, you know, redundant for the most part to Williams this year. I'm with everybody on Darnell Thompson. I think he's a nice young player.
Yeah.
This idea that he's the next Tomlinson, I'm not down with that.
Right. Right. Popped a little bit last night. The other camp battle, you kind of teased. There's three. You kind of got into it, whether we're reading my mind or not, but is Miami with Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage, who just won't seem to go away. I wonder who's going to be the guy there, or would they split?
I watched preseason. Here's the thing about Miami. But Ballage, I'd be blown away if that guy just took it over.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the talent. But sometimes we say talent, and what we really mean by talent is big, strong, fast. Sometimes that's not the way. I mean, there's more
to measurables.
Talent. Yeah. There's more to talent than big, strong, fast. You know, he's not good at the game. He breaks down in there's disconnects in his game. You know, he couldn't beat out DeMario Richard in college.
Yeah.
So, you know, he and Drake are actually very similar. The difference is Drake is proven to be a very good receiver in college and the NFL.
Yep.
So I don't think Drake's going to lose that part of his game. So I think last year's value should be there for him. Whether he can actually take the thing over, become a three-down back, maybe Blash could have something to say about
take that. Away a little bit on that. And the other one
let's get to the guy you wanted to talk about on the Patriots so we can jump back.
Yeah, well, so this is the thing. So like one of the interesting developments in the first couple of weeks of training camp and the first week of the preseason is what's happening between the competition with N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers. Now, whether that is a direct competition between those two, positionally for lead receiver, or they're just going to both make it and get some. But, you know, Harry had a nice game Thursday night, and then he came off the field. And they're thinking maybe it's a hammy, because the news I picked up on Tuesday is that out of training camp, he kind of limped off, and the hamstring was what was called. And he got it like fighting for a ball. So when he landed, maybe something happened there. But all the while, young Jacoby Myers out of NC State has been popping all of camp. And he had a big day Thursday. And now look, you're going against the Detroit Lions, probably, you know, third squad, right? So, but, you know, look, he got six of his eight targets, 69 yards, two touchdowns. And that's amongst a lot of really good news. So, you know, he looks like a guy who's going to make the team and make some noise. I don't know if you have any perspective on his college film, if you did a look at him.
I mean, I think this is a lot of, you know, overreaction, personally.
Could be. Look, we're here in Boston, right?
So, I just mean that in terms of, like, let this happen a little bit. Of course, hometown, some guy coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Patriots could really use a special surprise.
And the Patriots are good at that. They always kind of pull these surprises out. So, like, people are kind of salivating about it a little bit.
Do they really,
you know?
Though? Like who? Edelman?
Yeah, he was a seventh-round pick. You know what I mean? He's probably the poster boy of it.
But how long did it take Edelman to develop?
3 years, maybe.
Yeah.
So. But he was starting to push Welker a little bit towards the end there.
Oh.
2010. You were ahead of it. I remember.
If you go back on this radio show, Jim, to the year Edelman sort of became Edelman, we were saying the year before that he's the better player.
It was 2011, if I remember correctly, around that time.
But Jakobi Meyers, I liked what I saw of him in college at NC. I actually watched quite a bit.
Yep. 6'2", 200, too. You know, not small.
He's a big receiver. Yep. And, you know, I just didn't see enough of the special, to be honest. Mm. It just didn't excite me, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if he's stuck on an NFL roster. It wouldn't surprise me with a team like the Patriots that he could maybe do some stuff.
Yeah.
It really wouldn't surprise me. Here's the thing I noticed about him in college, and I absolutely noticed this, because I watched a lot of Kelvin Harmon's film.
Yeah.
And he's a teammate of Kelvin Harmon's. And as you know, I was not particularly high on Kelvin Harmon.
Yeah, I remember.
Here's one of the reasons. Every time I watched him, he wasn't any better than Jakobi Meyers, okay? So there is that kind of effect. I kept saying, this Meyers guy's making more plays than the guy I'm watching.
Mm.
And my ultimate thing that I came away from with that team, with Carolina, North Carolina, was that I really liked the quarterback.
Yeah.
Ryan Finley.
Yeah.
I thought Ryan Finley kept that offense on schedule. I thought that had the feel of an NFL offense, the way he kept that thing on schedule. I was really impressed with him. Nothing blows you away. The arm doesn't blow you away. But from the neck up, that guy's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and he's actually got a pretty decent path. You know, he's got Dalton ahead of him. And,
yeah, he's got Dalton ahead of him. But back to your guy. Meyers was the guy he trusted. I think Meyers is good against zone coverage. I think he's a guy who will catch what you throw him. And I could see him doing some things in the Patriots system because he's clearly smart. He's clearly a guy who understands the scheme.
Yep.
So, I didn't see enough special. Like, I don't want to get too excited about Jakobi Meyers, and the name is funny. Do they have Jakobi and Meyers commercials in New England?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, in New York, there's this big commercial. You see it all the time. Jakobi and Meyers Law Firm. Blah, 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 blah. So every time I see his name, I laugh.
All right. But anyway. All right. We'll get more into Meyers, Harry, the Pats, the tight ends, fantasy football prep, all of that after we break shortly. WEI. All right, welcome back. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson, the Fantasy Football Hour. And we're getting people ready for their drafts, talking some tight ends, a little bit of camp battles, talking Pats with N'Keal Harry and Jakobi Meyers and what's brewing there.
Back to them. I think I don't want to paint this kid, Jakobi Meyers. Again, I'm going to laugh every time I say it. Sorry about that. those commercials are everywhere in New York. But I don't want to paint this.
They haven't penetrated Boston yet, so we're lucky about that. We got plenty of law firms to deal with.
No, and they won't, because it's sort of an old thing, actually. You don't see him anymore. But I don't want to make it sound like this guy's like the next Kenbrell Tompkins or something like that. Nothing against Kenbrell Tompkins, who had
he flashed and he was gone.
Yeah. Or like, what's another big? Zach Sudfeld. I don't want to make him be like Zach Sudfeld or something. Let's be fair, Zach Sudfeld like broke his leg, so he had a pretty nasty injury.
Yep.
But this is a guy I think can hang around and do some things. I think he fits the system really well because he's smart, and we all know that like route adjustments are a big deal if you want to stay on the field as a receiver in the system. So if he's up with that stuff and doing it well early, I mean, who knows?
Well, the thing that I think is getting people interested, it's not just what happened Thursday night, with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer throwing him the ball. It's that Brady seems to like what he's seeing in practice at training camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the thing that I think is intriguing. So I think he's going to stick, but you're right. It's early. We're Sunday of preseason one. So
let's jump back into these tight ends.
So we were talking like earlier in the hour about the tight end position in terms of fantasy football and how deep it is, depending on your perspective. Pete and I both believe it's deep. I kind of started just saying like, look, I'm not afraid to go heavy elsewhere and then rely on a veteran if they fall to me. And so we kind of were just shooting through, who do you like, who don't you? And we're both kind of unafraid of Jordan Reed, but then kind of afraid of like Tyler Eifert.
We went through
an example.
All this.
Yeah. I had a couple more.
All right, let's get to it.
All right, Greg Olsen. I'm running away unless I get Ian Thomas. You know what I mean? I'm running away.
You can't really play it that way because you don't know if you will. So then basically you fade him. You could, if you have a back-to-back pick or something, you could try something like that.
Yeah.
But that would, I don't know, if you're not in a deep league, you're tying up multiple roster spots and then, God forbid they split time and then you just want to.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Is there anybody on the board who sticks out as a big value to you?
Hmm.
I can go there. I'm just throwing that. I mean, I'll tell you who I sort of like. We can go that way. But.
Well, do you want the young or old?
Anybody.
All right, Hockenson's rising. That's you know, he to me, he was like a real value back when we did like the fishbowl back in July. But he seems to be rising, and so he's one.
But is he a value? Do you want him?
I want him. Yeah.
As a rookie?
Yeah.
On your redraft team?
Yeah. Okay. I'd be willing to gamble
on. Sorry, I just want to pin you down.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm similar. I probably will go earlier than you, although you didn't say when you're going to take him. But yeah, I think Hockenson is a little bit undersold right now. I think he's probably going to be better as a rookie than people realize.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are saying Chris Herndon is undraftable.
Yeah, with the Jets.
For 4 weeks.
Yep.
You know, if you're in a small league with 15 roster spots, yeah, you can't draft Chris Herndon. That's silly. But if you're most of the leagues you and I play, Jim, are
20, 12, 22, 14 25
teams,
yeah,
big, deep rosters, yep, multiple flexes. In leagues like that, I think you're crazy if you leave Herndon undrafted.
I'll give you a guy I'm kind of interested in.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a lot about, and I was very kind of up on him early in the summer, and there just hasn't been any news on him. Trey Burton. Yeah. You're a little lukewarm on the whole Chicago Bears offense,
right,
thing, aren't you?
I love Trey Burton. I love Anthony Miller. You know, A-Rob, Tariq Cohen, you know, Taylor Gabriel, all these guys. I like all of them. There's too many of them.
Yeah.
They can't all catch the football. There's one ball. So my problem with Chicago is there's one stinking football. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Burton's a good player. The other problem with Burton is Adam Shaheen.
Yeah,
so
he's a red zone guy, yep.
Shaheen is good.
Yep.
So now I'm a little concerned about that, too. So. Yeah, I've got Burton as my tight end 15. Really good player, not a great spot in that offense for fantasy production.
You mentioned Herndon. I got a guy like right around him. If you're in a big league, how about Darren Waller from Oakland?
Waller, I want, you know, if he's still healthy and kicking, but when I draft, yeah, I might use a roster spot on Waller. He sort of feels like that typical flash in the pan guy. We've heard we've heard about Waller for years now. I don't know. We'll see. I'm open minded. He's got a lock, a line, a bead on a gig. And if he gets it, he's being paired with a guy who's like a volume thrower who doesn't like to throw it downfield based on the last couple of years. So if he steps into the cook role, who knows?
All right, we got a couple minutes. I want to hit some guys that I know you and I really like. Let's talk about O.J. Howard, Evan Engram.
O.J. Howard's the most talented tight end in the world.
Yeah, it's just there's so much competition there for reps.
That's how talented he is.
Yep.
Is he going to be as good as Gronk? I don't know. But that's how freaking talented O.J. Howard is. You know, if he was on an offense with a coordinator who had lit tight ends up before, he'd probably be even higher on my board. I'm leaning in on him, even though Arians hasn't really done much with tight ends.
He didn't have a lot to deal with, though, in Arizona.
In Arizona, for sure. Arizona, you're right. You know, then you go to Heath Miller, and you're like, well, Miller was
decent,
sort of
but at the end of his career, though.
Well, I don't know about that. But here's the thing. If he uses O.J. Howard the way he used Heath Miller, O.J. Howard's going to be very good. Hopefully, he sees Howard as more of a big play threat. Arian's history is that he uses the players he has in the best way possible. So, like you said, yeah, he didn't use the tight ends in Arizona because he moved Larry Fitzgerald inside and created a big slot, and they did other things. Hopefully he does that in Tampa, and Howard becomes a big weapon because he can be lights out.
Yep. And then Evan Engram. You know, they have to –
If it wasn't for Howard, I would say Evan Ingram's the most talented tight end in the world.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, and he's as fast as an outside receiver.
People don't realize how good Evan Engram is. Yeah, he's sub 4.45. He's really fast, and he's big.
Yep.
Yeah. Evan Engram – listen, if Evan Engram was on the Patriots – he would be going in the second round right now.
For sure, because the Patriots are devoid of tight end right now, other than my guy Matt LaCoste, who got a little dinged up on Thursday, which is too bad.
Brady knows how to throw to the position. I'm just saying that's how talented he is. And Hunter Henry, definitely excited about him. The only problem for Hunter Henry is that, you know, targets will be tough to get on that team.
All right. We're gonna be giving a lot of content throughout the preseason and all season long on the Fantasy Football Hour. Check out Rotobon, where Pete's website is. The top 500 as of today, Sunday the 11th, are up and ranked.
Today.
You can catch Pete at Rotobon on Twitter. I'm at WEI Hacksaw. So when your draft questions come in, shoot them there. And as we get into the season, we'll be taking your questions on 37937 on the text machine. Bradfo and Wiggy coming up after us. So long.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.